Hi, I'm Jared Bodine.
And I'm John Kay.
And this is Let's Do Lunch. Join us as we chat about geek culture,
life,
oh faces, and whatever else comes up.
It's the best way to spend your lunch break with us.
And we'll even pick up the tip.
Today on Let's Do Lunch, you will never know how popular or unpopular you are until you try and get a friend to come with you to see a Pink Floyd laser light show.
Ding 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 ding.
Those antics may play out in the sticks, but this is the big city. If I was bald, I would be very much a Homer right now. That's really depressing to think about.
No, I think that might be British.
So, we are at, can you say the name? Because I'm going to guess.
It's the Cornish Pasty Co.
Pasty, not to be confused with a pastry, which,
no.
To me, a Cornish pastry sounds more like a place,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds like something that you could eat.
Yeah, but I thought, but when you said Cornish Pasty Co., I immediately thought of strippers.
I've driven by this place.
Because they use pasties on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you've driven by this place?
I've driven by this place a couple of times, and I the name jumped out to me because I played this one game called Pixelated Dungeon.
There's a speaker right above us.
Yeah.
I thought I was hearing loud music.
One of the food items that you can eat to restore your health is called a pasty, so I guess it's a British thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think this is a game reference.
No.
This does not seem like a gamer type of place.
No, the arcade machine shut down, and I don't think that's intentional.
Oh, hold on. I have to answer this because it pauses recording when my wife calls. Hey, hon. I'm doing my podcast. Okay, love you. No. All right. Bye. Well, my wife is calling from San Francisco.
Nice.
The Rice-A-Roni treat.
Uh-huh.
I said that backwards, but you get the idea.
All right, that's not really very backwards.
Well, it's Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. I said she's calling from San Francisco, the Rice-A-Roni treat.
Yeah, I'm not entirely awake today. The past month, I've had like 5 and 6 hours of sleep on a good day.
Wow.
So, I'm not all here, and I really could use a Dr. Pepper. Nobody's come out with us.
Yeah, you know,
yet.
We walked in, and the waitress said hi, and you're like, okay, hi, do we pick a seat? She's like, yeah, find your own seat, we'll find you and bring you menus. She knew how many people were here. I assume that this is a two-way mirror, and they can see us on the other side, even though we're just in a mirror. Yeah, we're out in the patio, so we might hear some honking and loud trucks going by.
Uh-huh.
So this will be interesting. But this is definitely kind of a hippie vibe place. Are you noticing that? It's got a dog-friendly patio. It's got...
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Apparently. It's got the family-style dining tables in there,
mm-hmm.
Where you just sit in a row with strangers.
Barbecue benches
on the outdoor seating. It seems a bit like a millennial, hipster kind of place.
Yeah.
I would have never chosen this place randomly if we had not had the accident that I caused, so...
Well, these things happen. I mean... You're perfect in so many other ways. To be perfect in this way as well,
I suppose. I mean, I'll take that.
Everybody will accidentally. Anybody at some point, if they have a regular meeting on Monday, occasionally, they will schedule the restaurant meeting at a place that is closed on Monday.
Yes, you've done one.
That's inevitable.
You were going to have us go to a Mediterranean place,
which is awesome,
and still closed every Monday.
Yeah.
And today we were going to go to a place called the Pink Pepper, a Thai place that I went to once a long, long time ago. And I really enjoyed it, and I've never been back since.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of looking forward to that. And they're closed on Mondays only. What is it with restaurants and Mondays?
I can't tell you. They're partying too hard on Sunday, I guess.
I mean, I can't imagine Tuesdays or Wednesdays are all that hot and busy,
no, here's
right?
The thing is, you need to leave that slot open for when religious organizations need catering. So you're going to put all of your work into a Sunday, and then you need to have that Monday open to recover.
I guess. It doesn't. I mean, you would just hire more people and rotate staff.
Yeah.
That's how I run business.
Yeah, just close on Monday.
There's a waitress lady. Hopefully she looked at us. I made eye contact. Let's cross our fingers and hope that goes somewhere. It's not the same lady that we spoke to.
No.
At this point, I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
I woke up early this morning, didn't have much of a breakfast, so...
So we're all suffering today.
Well, and I'm reeling from a loss we had recently as well.
Oh, Mr. Adam?
Mr. Adam West.
That's,
yeah.
I liked the guy, but he was never a top-tier person for me, you know?
But as a geek, you have to admire the craft of the man. He plays to the geek culture probably as well as anyone. I mean, I think what really made him... I hated his campy 60s Batman. It was my least favorite of the Batmans. I know that's a very divisive stance.
When I was five, I enjoyed it. But it's so ridiculous, so silly.
I didn't like Batman when I was a kid because of Adam West. Yeah. I hate to say that. I liked Batman when they came back in the 89 with, you know, the dark Michael Keaton.
Keaton.
Yeah, that Batman was when I started to like Batman, and it was dark and it was cool.
I like how we're taking this moment of his death to disparage his legacy.
Well, let me get to the redeeming factor. He embraced the fact that he was the campy Batman very well in later... I mean, for a little while, he kind of hated it. But he played to it very well in the later years. And his role on Family Guy was phenomenal. I loved him on Family Guy.
I enjoyed when they cameoed him on Simpsons. But when they brought him back regularly on Family Guy as the mayor, it seemed like it was too much for me.
Really?
Like, if they would have had maybe every 30th episode... You see the mayor, and he does that. That's fine, but he was a regular character.
He became a regular, but I never had a problem with it. I always enjoyed the Mayor Adam West scenes. The humor on that was it's like a melding of that silly British humor with the silly American humor style, and I just liked the way they pulled off the jokes about Mayor Adam West. And to his credit, he was okay with that because that was his real name. That they're using, they're kind of disparaging him, making him sound like he's a bit of a nutball, you know. Or, I don't know if that's a real term, but
anyway. I think it's nut job. Another butter. That's what he...
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I really liked his later work when he would play off the fact that he was the campy Batman, because he never did anything else of any significance that I can think of.
Yeah, it would have been neat to hang out with him, but I just don't. I didn't think of him as somebody who I should put on a pedestal. And that's...
No, that's true. So, like, Leonard Nimoy would be more of a pedestal kind of guy. Even though he did even less, he was just Spock, period. and Spock cameo, of course, was excellent on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But, he had a harder time breaking out of his acting bubble than I think Adam West did. The pigeonholing that he got into. Because, I mean, what else had Leonard Nimoy done that you can think of?
Nothing.
I'm sure he probably had little things.
If we go to IMDb, we'll find some stuff. But, I mean, that's... Who's got a cell phone these days?
Yeah, exactly. That takes too much effort.
And still, we do not have service.
Okay, here she is. She has a checkbook in her hand. Okay, I'm going to flag her down if she does not come over here this time. Can we get menus over here? Thanks. Ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm. That is not a Bible verse, right?
It is. Ask and you shall receive, knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
I'm pretty sure that's one of the one of the ones that are falsely attributed to the Bible, and it was never actually a Bible verse.
No, I disagree. I am fairly certain that is 100% a Bible verse. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll verify that right now.
Let's find out. We've got time.
We have plenty of time. Hi there.
Sorry about that.
We thought maybe you forgot about us.
No.
What's the plan on the Cornish pasty company? Because I've got vague understanding of what a pasty is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a calzone. Like all the ingredients are wrapped in pastry dough.
Because I hear pasty, I think... Never mind, I'm not going to tell you what I said.
Yeah, with pasty. It's actually pasty.
It's pronounced pasty. So this is the Cornish pasty company.
So I've been pronouncing wrong all this time.
We are both wrong. I thought it said pastry from the street.
Right, so. It kind of does look like that, yeah.
You just take a glance at it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I definitely need to get your signature thing,
right? The Augie on the very top
The
middle.
Augie?
Uh-huh.
That's it.
I think I'm going to go with the Royale with cheese, because that's a reference to a movie that I enjoy.
The Royale with cheese.
And then if you need anything else, let me know, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right,
thanks. Okay, coolness. Okay, let's do this search. We got distracted. I want to get that Bible quote resolved before we move on.
I'll be working on
that. What was it again? Knock and you shall,
knock and it shall be opened.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Huh.
That's Matthew 7:7, King James Version.
I guess I never read Matthew.
And I am confident in my 5:7-5-ing this time.
Isn't it 757?
Is it 575 or 757? I thought it was 575.
No, it's 575.
You had me going for a minute. You really aren't awake yet, are you? You have to reshuffle this thing.
I'm so done. Alright, I'm so tired, I've got garbage. So, here it is, presented to you. The most wonderful garbage with this smile. So you're going to finish up because you think you've got it.
I think I have a good one. I don't know, but I have a hunch.
I just have lovely Plowman pie, apple porky vindaloo, and royale with cheese. And I don't even think that's 575. I am so dead today.
That is horrible.
It's terrible.
It's really bad. All right. Here's mine. Banoffee pasty, the royale pilgrim, stews all, the Greek. Bangers too. So did that make sense? Almost?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it almost makes sense, right?
Well, yeah, it's much like the English language and the American language, how it's two countries separated by by one ocean kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what bangers is as a verb, but I used it as a verb.
Yeah. No, so. You know exactly what it is.
Come on. It makes sense to me, but all right. Yeah, I don't even think we have to wait for hindsight. I'm pretty sure I won this one.
Yeah, you crushed it.
It's funny, too, because you invented it, and you crushed it the first time so miserably. But since then, I think I have actually bested you twice now in a row. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're the adapter type.
Is that it? I do have a lot of adapters in my house.
Mm-hmm.
You can't throw a perhipril at me that I can't adapt. That's more of a literal term.
Perhipril?
You know, that's one of those things as a computer guy, you would think I would know how to say correctly, and I get it wrong every time.
You mean like peripheral?
Peripheral? Peripheral? Something you plug into your computer that's not part of the computer would be a...
I think it's a peripheral.
Peripheral?
Yeah.
This feels so wrong off my tongue. They need a new word for it.
Yeah.
Doohinky doesn't make you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, saying peripheral doesn't make you sound like you know what you're talking about
either. Well, it's spelled like perihipreal or something, but I hate that word. And as a computer guy, I have to use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfortunate. I can't even spell it right. Spellcheck catches me every time I talk about a perihipreal.
I want to say it's peripheral.
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 Well, that's like a peripheral, like it's on your peripheral vision. That's not the same thing as a peripheral for your computer, is it?
It isn't.
I don't know, is it?
Well, I'm sure while editing this, you'll look it up. And you'll be like, ah.
Yeah, but I can't go back and recorrect myself because I can't do what they do in the movies when it's called looping. Do you know what looping is?
Why can't you just overwrite the one sound with the other sound?
Well, I could. There's a lot of dead air when we were doing our
menu haikus. Yeah.
So I could use that and then just dub over myself and do what they could in the movies called looping.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I learned about looping, I've gotten really good at detecting when they loop in voices later. So looping is where they have a conversation with two people and they didn't get the right phrase, or they realize in hindsight that the character needs to say something else so the audience understands what's happening.
Yeah.
So they go into a sound booth after production. And they have the actor say a couple lines into a sound room, and then they dub it in to the video to make it seem like he said it when he was there.
Yeah.
They do it a lot in reality shows, too, like when the hosts are explaining rules of contests.
And you always go to those reaction shots of the people.
They cut away to the contestants, and that's when the host clarifies something. And I've gotten really good now at noticing when it's looped, because it never quite sounds right.
Yeah.
And a layman or someone who's watching with their TV speakers, which are horrible quality, can usually not tell. But I can't help it now. And now it bugs me when I notice I'm hearing a looped audio line.
Yeah.
And
not everything happens in real life, man.
I know. But for some reason, it's just something in me hates when something is looped. I mean, there comes a time when it needs to be done. And, you know, a voiceover is different. Obviously, that's meant to be that way. But when it's a dialogue, and then all of a sudden the tone changes, and the character's tone is all different when they explain something that is clearly expositional.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like how we'll notice... what's the name of the... there's a scream...
Oh, yeah, the sound effect, the girl scream.
No, not the girl scream. Well, the cat scream, anytime that there's a cat going in the background of something, it's always the same cat sound. And that cat is dead now.
Oh, long dead. Well, there's a few sound effects that I have in my own library, which I will play here when I get to the post-production. There's the woman scream. When you hear this woman scream, and you know it's a sound effect, because I used it for my own movie making, and I used it in the radio station a lot.
Okay.
Once you hear that, you will. Once you pick up on that, you'll hear it in every TV show. And usually they'll try and mask it. They'll use other sound effects in conjunction with it. But it's all the time. Another one you hear all the time.
There's a child's laugh.
The children giggling. Mm-hmm. Like a playground children giggling.
Yeah.
That one I always hear. And you can tell it's the exact same sound effect over and over and over.
There's a, I want to say it's like the Gadsden scream or something like that.
I don't know what that is.
It's big in Star Wars, and it shows up just all
over. Oh, like when a guy falls off a cliff?
Yeah.
They reuse that one all the time,
yeah.
Too.
I forget the name of it right now because I'm just so not here today. And this is completely empty.
You already downed your first Dr. Pepper. First of many.
I'm getting there. Starting to wake up. A little bit of food and a little bit of Dr. Pepper is all I ever needed. I looked up the Stay Woke. Did you? Because you gave that to me as a homework assignment?
Yes, I'm surprised you followed through.
Of course I'm going to follow through when it's just a matter
Firefly?
Of Googling something. No.
Okay, then.
When it's just a matter of Googling something, okay. That's no problem. So that started, there was a 2008 rap song that said, Stay Woke, Stay Woke. And then when Black Lives Matter started, they started quoting that song. And I learned this from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary Twitter.
Good on you!
So, Merriam-Webster has
so many
purposes.
But see, I was right. It's kind of, it came rise with that Black Lives Matter. So it's a leftist cry.
It is mostly leftist.
Absolutely. Did you ever find any Bill O'Reilly quotes of him saying that, or... Blaze?
Neither right? Bill O'Reilly nor Sean Hannity, no. I'll concede that.
Ooh, I win one.
You win most of them. Come on.
Well, I don't know.
That's why you're doing this, is that you can pound me into the dust all the time.
No, you've still got me on the peripheral debate. I got nothing there.
So, I went to IHOP recently.
You lost the bet, or...?
No, we swing by there once in a while. Now, I used to go to IHOP regularly because of the chocolate chip pancakes, and before that, like, kind of in the middle, because first I went for the chocolate chip pancakes, and then I started going for cornbread pancakes, which, my God, they're the most wonderful thing you've ever had.
I've never heard of them.
They were amazing, and then they stopped making them for some reason, so I have to go back to the chocolate chip pancakes. And I remember my last day ordering cornbread pancakes, because they had taken them off of the menu, and I kept on, you know, asking each time I went back, do you still have the cornbread pancakes? And this last time, the waitress came up, and I asked her for the cornbread pancakes, and she put on kind of this sad face and said, I ate the last one today.
What?
And it didn't help that she was, you know, kind of a larger waitress. And I didn't get rude with her, but I'm like, oh, I see.
Nice.
When I went this last time, first off, around 2006, they changed their marketing from International House of Pancakes into just IHOP.
Yeah, with the smile-looking thing. Yeah.
And... at the same time, I noticed that they replaced they had these little windows, these little glass plates in between the booths so that you couldn't see the person over on the other side of you. Mm. And they used to have multiple countries, flags, in those glass plates.
International.
When they changed it to IHOP, they removed those and just put like stained glass, not stained glass, but like the...
The smoked glass, the foggy glass
Yeah, that
thing?
Foggy glass mm-hmm. in between... So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I guess they can back away from a little bit. But this last time that I went to IHOP, they had like aloha and luau and all of these Hawaiian things all over the place. And I'm like, that's not international, guys.
Yeah, that's a very specific one culture.
Yeah.
That is part of America.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't really know Hawaiian. Hawaii is still part of America right now. My parents just moved back from Hawaii. They had been here or been in Hawaii for about a year. They moved back, but while they're out there, they are trying to get something shipped to where they lived in Maui. And, you know, in the islands, things are a little more difficult. And they ended up having to call in this company that was shipping and said, yeah, we want it shipped here in Hawaii. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, we only ship to the States. And they said, well, do you mean like the contiguous 48? Because no, we're not there. And they said, no, we'll ship to any of the 50 states. I said, well, okay, good. But we can't ship to you. But we're in Hawaii. Yes, as I said, we can only ship to the states.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, Hawaii is number 50. We are. Like, they couldn't get through to this guy.
Wasn't Arizona one of the last ones to join?
We were 48. We're the last of the contiguous.
Okay.
It was us, right. And then Alaska, and then Hawaii, and 51 will be Puerto Rico.
Yeah, isn't that exciting? We're going to get it. How are they going to arrange that flag? That's really the main hurdle that I think they're fighting.
John Oliver showed a flag with 51 stars when he was doing a segment about Puerto Rico. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
And he didn't say it was. And after he'd been talking about it for a while, he said, here on the screen, on this whole time, I've had a 51-star flag and no one even noticed.
I did notice because...
Because the pattern?
Because of my time in the military, I've learned tricks on how to count the number of stars really easily. Because you're up in the middle of the night, from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., you have nothing to do, and there's an American flag rattling on in the back. So you're just like, you know what? Why don't I count to make sure that all of the stars are there? And why don't I come up with tricks in order to better figure out that they're all there for next time?
That is an extremely boring life you led.
The military is about having a presence for long enough until war breaks out, and then you can actually do something. But just to maintain readiness, which probably is what led to my joy of waiting now. Is I actually, you know, as long as it's not for a greater good like that, as long as I'm not, you know, setting America into a greater world, then yeah, I'll wait around and do something.
You know, that kind of almost reminds me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie.
Uh-huh.
They go into the planet with the bureaucratic aliens.
Uh-huh.
And there's a huge... he goes in there with a gun blazing, and turns out it's just like a boring waiting room where you get files and paperwork done.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, queue up? I can handle this. I'm British. I know how to queue. And he just waits in line, you know, but like, that seems like that's sort of you. Like, you know how to wait.
Yeah.
It's your specialty.
No, I think I might be British.
You may be.
Hey, this is John. That was just the appetizer. You want a full course meal? Keep listening.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Bodine Tech. Bodine Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Bodine Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Bodine Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.
So I should tell you about my...
Yeah, you went to San Fran, right?
Well...
Oh, no, you went to the laser... You got so much stuff going on.
I did a lot of stuff this last time. I mean, one of the reasons why we missed our regular every other week schedule was because I was out of town in San Francisco. And yes, we did wear flowers in our hair. We did the Lombard Drive, which is the windiest street in America.
Okay.
You know that one that zigzags downhill?
I've seen it in movies.
Right. It was a tourist, like... It was overrun with tourists. I couldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
People just standing there all day. And then I ended up being one of them, so I guess, you know, I can't really insult them. And then I ended up driving down it, because who doesn't want to drive down it? It was fun, but man, I mean, just... There's a vagrant problem there, among other things.
Okay.
And I'm not citing any particular reason why or political...
Absolutely
...opinions
not.
On it. But it certainly does not make you feel comfortable when you take your kids to a park and there's bums that took over the slide area. So your kids can't go ride the slide. And that did happen. It was a weird feeling.
Do you think they would have succumbed to the social pressure if you got your kids to start crying?
No, they had like turned it into a fort, the bums. They had like tents on it and everything. Like it would take them 20 minutes to disassemble their...
But for kids, you're going to do that. So do you think they'd succumb to that social pressure?
No.
If the kid's like... Daddy, I wanted this life. I mean, how long? As a bum, you know, you're definitely the epitome of waiting. You can definitely handle some waiting. But how long can you handle waiting when a kid is screaming in your face like that?
You know what? I think that, and this is a general thing.
I think that's an experiment we need to try.
I am not going to get popular with the bum community for saying this, but most homeless people aren't really known for their good social skills.
Ah, dude, you just...
And social etiquette.
Now we've lost our bum.
I know. There goes Saul. He was good. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think social cues really are an issue in the bum life cycle. Like, I just don't think that's something that would affect them. Mm. I mean, they pee out in the streets facing traffic sometimes. I've seen that. That's why I'm saying that. Clearly, they don't worry about a little kid who wants to play in their home. I left my wife there, so I'm a single father right now.
It's good to hear.
And I almost didn't get to do this.
I was wondering when you were going to move on, yeah. leave your wife in another state, and just live the bachelor life for a little while with two kids.
It's going to be a long 3 months.
Wow.
Not only is my wife gone, but my kids are out of school. So I am watching them like 24/7.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really hard for me to even make money this summer.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to make it all work. So I don't know. It's problematic. But
are you asking for a loan? Is that what's going on?
Yes, that's exactly. I was hoping it was subtle enough, but not so subtle that you'd miss it. So I think I nailed that sweet spot. But one thing I did get time to do, which was the thing you stood me up for, I'll never forgive you.
Uh-huh.
It was the the Pink Floyd laser light show.
Did you bring somebody else?
You will never know how popular or unpopular you are until you try and get a friend to come with you to see a Pink Floyd laser light show.
I don't think it's... Because I think if, like, Bill Gates said to all of his friends, come join me at a Pink Floyd laser light show, I don't think he'd get that many positive responses, you know?
Mm.
I think it's the goal. Like, if you said, hey, I want you to come with me to Vegas and do Blue Man's Group, I think you'd get a lot more positive responses there.
Exactly. So it's a true friend if they go with you to a Pink Floyd laser light show. That's my point. You know, the fair weather friends drop off when it's... And it was a free ticket, by the way. I mean, I was saying to people, I've got a ticket. It's yours. Let's go. Every friend I have, mm-hmm. every single one was a no.
So I was the last one that you called?
You were actually the first, to be fair. So, yeah. And then I went down the spiral. Then I tried my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Then I tried my brother-in-law. You know, I'm going down the family chain here. Then I ended up getting my brother-in-law's brother, which I'm not really super close with. And I actually did the communication with him through my sister.
Wow.
And even he, through my sister, said, well, I'm going to go see a movie like at 4. But if I finish the movie early enough, yeah, I'll swing by. Which sounds like a real commitment to me. Right? And then I realized... And I said, okay, I'll leave a ticket for you with your name at wheel call. So just show up whenever, get your ticket, you can come and sit down, the ticket's reserved. Well,
did you even know who this person was?
Yeah, I've met him okay. a couple times. But literally, I've met him a couple times.
Yeah.
But I'm like, whatever, the ticket's not going to waste. And then I realize when I sit down, I never told him where the concert was, and he never asked. He is absolutely not planning on coming. So... I watched it completely alone.
Oh. But there were other people there, too.
Oh, right? It was crowded. Okay. It was packed. But and some people got too into it, and they'd, like, stand up and do stuff. A couple times people busted out the cell phones, because, you know, lighters are old school. Now they uh-huh. put their cell phones up in the air and wave it
in place of a lighter. That bothers me.
Well, it's especially bothering...
Especially the cell phone app that is a lighter. That's going too far, dude.
You know, at a concert, that's one thing. But when you're trying to watch a screen, a laser light show in front of you, and it gets between you and the laser light show, that's when I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, seriously? Come on.
No, we should do more stuff together. I completely agree, but the laser light show was totally not my bag.
I got that impression. Well, it wasn't really my bag either. It just sounded like a kind of a different, fun thing I've never done before.
Yeah.
And now I have no desire to drop acid. I don't need to know what it's like. I already know.
I think there might be a slight difference between what you experienced in an acid trip.
Oh, no. You are not in this Pink Floyd laser light show. They had two sets of glasses. One was 3D, and one was like that starburst spectrum thing.
What? So they gave you, like, signals to switch glasses now?
Yes.
Oh, that's silly.
It was... interesting, and it was very immersive.
Well, I'm glad that you had a acid trip in time. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, I didn't mind that I was alone. I'm really not like when I was when I worked at the movie theater as a kid, and if I ever worked a day shift, I'd see these guys, like businessmen or whatever, maybe my age, just coming in, buying one ticket, and going to the movie all by themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, that looks so sad and depressing. I will never go to a theater alone. Now I do. I never thought I would, but you know what? I don't mind it at all.
No.
You're not really talking to your friend when you're in a movie with them anyway. What difference does it make? So, yeah. I don't mind the solitude. So in the weeks that I was busy doing things, what have you been up to?
Another thing that I did over the past 3 weeks is I burned myself on a toaster strudel.
Really?
Yeah.
How hot was that strudel? Was it glowing red?
No, it wasn't. It looked perfectly fine. But, like, as we all know, toaster strudels are two pieces of pastry with a little bit of jelly inside.
Sure.
And they've got those little holes in there.
Yeah.
Well, because of the expansion of the jelly from the heat, it caused it to leak out of those holes. And so when I, because this was a flat toaster oven, when I tried flipping it out with my middle finger there, I ended up giving myself an amazing little burn.
Oh my gosh, I can see the burn still.
Yeah.
That's a toaster pastry burn.
That's, yeah.
That's not from touching the grill. That's from touching the pastry itself.
Well, it's not even from the pastry. It's from that juice that adhered to me.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Continued to burn,
like
even
napalm.
Even as I was trying to rinse it off, that only made it worse.
Was it Agent Orange? Maybe that was.
It was cherry. Agent Cherry, I guess.
Agent Cherry.
So that was a pain. It was neat seeing people's reactions. Normally, you don't hear the phrase toaster strudel. So when I told people that I burned myself on a toaster strudel, it usually elicited a good laugh. But also, because it's on my middle finger here, and I pull out cards with this hand, I had to kind of elevate that middle finger while I'm pulling out the cards.
So people think you're slipping from the bottom of the deck?
No. So I'm using my index and ring finger to pull them all out, and I'm flipping everybody off as I deal the cards out. So
is anyone noticing that yet?
Oh, yeah. No, that was the first thing that I noticed. They're like, what's this all about, man? And I'm like, no. It was a toaster strudel. And they're like, oh, okay. That's fine.
You flipping me off? No, toaster strudel. Oh, I got it. You don't have to say more.
It made me more clumsy, not only in that main hand, but also in my alternate hand, because
really?
when you're compensating on one hand, your brain has difficulty remembering which hand it is. So you kind of compensate a little bit on the other hand. You don't use as much strength in the other one that you normally would because you're compensating over
here. I thought it was the opposite. Like when you lose your hearing, your sight gets better. I thought it was like one of those deals. You lose your left hand, your right hand gets better.
But it's just that the brain receives so much information that we have to turn some of it off. Like, you know how your left pinky toe feels right now, but you're just not thinking about it. Well, if you had nothing else to think about, then you would definitely know how that left pinky toe felt at all times.
I think I would still go to another part of my body before the left pinky toe.
Sure, if you had nothing else to think about.
That's why if you get hurt, you hurt some other part of your body and it takes the mind off the part that got really hurt.
Yeah. But that's why they say that, you know, the blind have those heightened senses, is they just aren't listening to the listener. They aren't listening to their eyes anymore. I rewatched American Tail. Have you seen that one recently?
You know, I have it in my queue.
Uh-huh.
I've never gotten around to watching it recently, but I wanted to watch it again because it's such a timeless classic.
It is, but at the same time, it's also poorly
drawn,
poorly constructed.
Oh.
Now, the artistry is okay, but it's not well thought out. Like, I was watching Fievel's hat, which was, like, a big staple for the entire thing. That's how you know that it's Fievel, is he's got the hat.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's just another mouse. You need to mark the main character somehow.
Right.
So people can follow him around.
Differentiate.
But he lost that hat so many times, and it just magically reappeared. Like, he pulled it from his back just all of a sudden. There it was the whole time, and then put it back on his head like nothing ever happened.
Oh.
It blew away with the wind. It washed away with the water so many times.
And it always looked pretty clean, too.
Yeah.
He must have had a dry cleaner nearby.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dry cleaners in New York. I think the biggest plot hole in the movie was they said there was no cats in America.
Uh-huh.
They were so wrong.
Yeah, it's like The Wolf of Wall Street, where there were actually no wolves
entire
way.
And there were cats all over America. What were they thinking?
I don't know if you remember the Somewhere song, where they're singing to the
moon
somewhere
they're
out there.
Singing into
the
same
song.
Bright sky.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So when the camera pans in on this scene, the moon is huge in the sky right there, big full moon in the background. And then as they continue to sing the song, the moon then rises. Because it's a pretty effect. But come on, guys, a little bit of continuity would be nice. Early, right when they get to, right when Fievel gets to New York, they attend a funeral. Fievel is trying to meet, like, Honest John or something like that, and they're meeting the funeral of Mickey, the dead mouse. I mean, he's got an Irish last name. It's like Mickey O'Rourke or Mickey O'Toole or something like that, but it's Mickey the dead mouse, and Don Bluth, the animator, used to work for Disney.
Oh.
So I think that might have been a bit of a hit on Disney.
You didn't read that somewhere. That's just your own.
That's something I observed. Yeah.
Interesting. How did you know the life story of the animator?
Don Bluth? He's one of the biggest animators that's not, you know, in Disney.
I'll take your word for it. I guess that's not my forte.
He started his own company, like all of those other movies, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was okay.
I don't like dogs. Maybe that's why.
A little curious with all of them. I mean, there's some really bad dogs out there.
Some bad dogs.
Well, as usual, John drank too much Dr. Pepper. Stay tuned to Let's Do Lunch, and we'll be right back. Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Boating Tech. Boating Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Boating Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Boating Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.
Okay, one thing that we didn't talk about that we were supposed to talk about on the last one, we just started talking about, and you said, hey, we need to come back to this, Scientology.
Oh, Scientology. Yeah, and season two of Scientology, what's it called, the Leah Remini show, have you heard of this?
No.
Remember the King of Queens?
King of Queens?
King of Queens, remember that show?
I watched maybe one episode of it. If I remember right, this was the large guy, right?
Yes.
And he had kind of a skinny wife?
A hot wife. Well, she's a Scientologist.
Okay.
Born in, well, I don't know if she's born, but certainly raised in Scientology. And she has since fallen away from the church. Her name is Leah Remini.
Okay.
I think I'm pronouncing it right. Anyway, she has a series on that started last year called Scientology and the Aftermath.
Okay.
And it's a series. Like, they do an hour-long episode, like six or seven episodes a season, where they dig in deep into Scientology.
Yeah, I've heard bad things.
Wow. I mean, like most Scientology things, they expose the weirdness of it. You know, the whole alien stuff and
sure.
your thetas and your operating theta levels and just the weirdness that L. Ron Hubbard came up with. But her thing
I wonder
is,
how many thetans are in Dr. Pepper. Because it's definitely empowering me.
Well,
my M meter is probably spiking.
Your M meter is way spiking. But, you know, we don't have those N meter devices to read them.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, what her thing is she's exposing the abuses and the damage to the members of the church, like the personal psychological issues. She's not even talking about, you know, just the weirdness of it. She just says, you know, that is what it is. Every religion has their own weird stuff.
Sure.
Her problem is the way that people who join into not just the religion, but there's an extra level where you join. Oh man, I'm forgetting the name of it now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They're officers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they are just treated really, really bad, like locked in solitary confinement kind of stuff. They don't have any outside. It's like worse than the polygamy compounds.
How can you say worse than polygamy? Come on, man.
Well, I'm talking about the condition
okay.
of living for the people in there, because they're so cut off from the world to an excessive amount, and they can't get out.
Yeah,
I mean, they're walled in.
Yeah, like a conservative. I know what you're talking about.
But I mean, and then just the physical abuse. They'll beat you down if you're not behaving properly.
Yeah,
they will force families to separate ties with them. You know, you can no longer. Your cousin or your mom or your brother is an oppressive person,
yeah.
which means you have to separate all communication.
This is standard cult, like,
very bad. And the cost is another issue. The amount of money it takes to be a Scientologist,
mm-hmm.
unreal.
And what do they do with that? You know, like, sure, you get a cut. You make that inside sphere of the earth kind of thing.
Well, those in charge, and those the higher-ups, and David Maskevich, they are really, really rich people.
Yeah.
They're non-profit, so they put as much effort as they can into new buildings. And those buildings they have are really high-end, expensive properties all over the states and in other places around the world. They say they're doing humanitarian things, but there's no evidence. And
nice.
They're really befuddling people. They're telling Scientology members in these mandatory five times a year conferences that there's like 4.4 million people joining their church every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's like less than 500,000, I think, right now.
So I got distracted by that five times a year. Why not six times a year?
Or
because
four
that's
times.
Every 2 months.
Or quarterly.
Or four times, sure.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm surprised you pointed that out with me. I was thinking that, like, why do they have a five time a year meeting?
That's messed up.
Maybe they do a quarterly and a special one for Christmas.
Every 20% of the Earth's rotation around the sun.
I'm sure there's an L. Ron Hubbard explanation for it. But, oh, man, the Scientology thing and the books and volumes of books they force you to read. And
That's like college.
It's not just...
So it's the worst of college, and it's the worst of being in a cult.
It's the worst of everything. So, I mean, but the problem is you get blacklisted really bad if you are publicly against them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go after you personally.
Yeah, litigation and everything, yeah.
Oh, man. And did you know they actually framed a woman for sending a bomb to try and blow a judge up or something like that?
Wow.
And she almost got imprisoned. The only reason she got away with it, she was the guilty person, and she was definitely going to jail. And they framed her so well. But then, like, it was like 77 or somewhere around there. It was a long time ago. But then the government did a raid because they were, L. Ron Hubbard was dipping into the kitty for his own personal funds, you know, being supposedly a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a raid, and they found documents, incidentally, that vindicated this woman.
Wow.
They had documented their framing of this woman. So
that's laughable.
It is. It's funny. They're so meticulous in documenting things. The problem is, those things can come to light. It seems like bad guys do that a lot. I don't understand why.
You don't want to be forgotten.
Why do you want to let the next generation know that, yeah, we framed this woman? Like, why do they need to paper trail all that? Just do that with your inner circle. Take care of it. Don't document it. You know, I used to have a different stance on Scientology because I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the Mormons, and we have a very interesting perception in the public eye as well.
Yeah.
There is a lot of weirdness that people think that we have. And most of it's not true. I can attest that there's a lot of... People talk about these crazy things that we do, and I'm like, my whole life, I've never seen any of that.
It's not so much the people. The people are... From what Ken Jennings has taught me, the people are good, but the religion, the theology is a little wacky.
Well, I guess... I don't know. I mean... I don't see it as wacky. I think it all actually kind of makes sense. I wouldn't be a member of the church otherwise. And I don't think I'm a particularly crazy guy. I mean, I think the problem is, with any religion, the way you explain it makes it look pretty bad, depending on the presenter. I mean, you look at Catholicism and the transubstantiation, where you take the rice and it literally turns into literal flesh of Jesus in your body.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that sounds pretty wonky. I can see how, if certain parts of my religion are presented in the wrong way, it can sound really bizarre. I'm sensitive to that. And so I always kind of gave Scientology a bit of a pass, thinking, you know, I'm sure a lot of it's just misunderstood, and I'm sure there's sort of a logical way where people who are relatively intelligent can kind of get there.
Yeah.
But after doing more research into them, I no longer give them that free pass.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's cultish to me now, and I can't see it any other way.
Well, now our podcast is blacklisted.
Yeah, I know. Now we're going to have them coming after our very popular and public podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be bad.
I sent you an accidental text last week when we were done.
It took me a few minutes to decode that text, by the way. I was like, what is he talking about?
But I've discovered, and this could be our invention for this podcast... The accidental text is a great social engineering strategy.
Okay, explain this.
You just finish up a meeting with somebody, and you leave and text them pretending to text your wife or a friend saying, this guy was really cool. I hope I see him again.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what I did say after you said, oops, wrong person, I said, well, now I know how you really feel about me. Yeah. You didn't say anything bad, so that's good. Or something right? like that, right? Because imagine how bad you would have felt if you had said something negative about me.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you know, I don't do. We're having an honestly fun time here.
No, that's true. I didn't expect you to, by the way. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to. But it would be interesting if someone... I'm going to play that game. I'm going to try that. And say, I got the wrong number. The last number I got called in was you, and I texted that back instead of texting my wife.
Yeah.
Smart. Start the text with, hi, hun, comma.
Yeah.
And then that person is either going to think you're hitting on them... But eventually they'll figure out, because I think, see, when you texted me accidentally, there was no introductory hello, you know, because it's between you and your wife.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to say hi, hon.
Right.
But you would just want to make it, you want to make it obvious that you're talking to them, but not, you know, glaringly obvious.
Right, so something like, hi, hon, you know, don't say, it's me, your husband.
Yeah. So, that's a fun invention.
Does that count as an invention?
Yeah.
I suppose it does, right?
Yeah.
I think it counts. And it's a great idea. I'm totally going to do that. You know, I had another idea for an invention.
Okay.
When I was in Guam. I don't know why. I think I attract people in a way. Like, people like to open up to me a lot, it seems. I don't know why, but it maybe I'm just my perception. But I get a lot of people who just will... Random people on the bus will talk to me. Random people on the street like to talk to me sometimes. I don't know why. It's interesting, but they do. And sometimes people will just keep on talking to me. And I have this thing where I can carry on a conversation for days with people if I'm not careful. And sometimes I don't want to be in that conversation. And I've always wanted there to be a way to just have my phone ring to give me that excuse whenever I need it. And so my invention was to program your smartphone with a hotkey. And you push that key, like, you know, hold down the volume up button for 3 seconds or something like that. And that would make your phone audibly ring. The same as if you had a real ring coming in. And then, so you just kind of reach down like this, hold down the button. Oh, shoot, hold on, I gotta take this. And you're out. And I was gonna call the app Easy Out.
Okay.
Right? Does that sound like a good invention to you?
I'm confident that it already exists. And also, a lot of phones, you don't even hear them, they just vibrate. So you can just do that anytime.
Well, yeah, maybe. But it doesn't exist in that form. And I found out why. Is because these phone manufacturers very strictly reduce what the buttons can do. You know, and I want it to be done from no matter what state you're in. You know, if your phone's asleep or if it was on the home screen last you used it or if you were in your mail last time you used it, that button needs to always be able to do that. Well, you can't do that with these phones, like iPhones, for example. They won't let you do that.
Okay.
The volume buttons can be tied into an app when you're in the app. The on-off button is always on-off. You can't do anything else with it. So you couldn't, and when the phone is off, or the screen is in sleep mode, the volume buttons don't do any, they're just a ringer, maybe, but that's it. I couldn't get it to work. And then I found another way to do it using third-party apps. Have you ever heard of If This Then That?
I've heard of the general, you know, logic concept, but...
It's a computer term. Anyone who's programmed knows If This Then That.
Yeah.
It's basically a, yeah, it's a logic structure for... coding and programs. Well, there's a company that took that term and made an actual platform called If This Then That, and they just use IFFT.
Okay.
If This Then That. Yeah.
IFTT. Sure.
Yeah, that one. And it basically lets you, and it lets you combine services into one, so you know, one, if that something happens, then something else will happen.
Okay.
So I've put together like formulas to give me this easy out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have something called the Do button, the same company. And it's where you can have one button that just does a thing or a series of things or starts a chain of events from your phone and your watch. So I now have it set up where I have what's called the Easy Out on my watch.
Okay.
And so if I just push, if I go to the Do button app, and if I'm stealthy enough, I push Easy Out, and within 30 seconds I get a phone call. To my phone, an actual phone call.
Okay, but it pauses for about 30 seconds, so you're not like pressing your button.
Exactly. So I go here, I'll do it right now, but it'll pause my recording. So I push the button, and it'll take a little while for the call to come in, which is a good thing. And then when the call comes in, I have a robot voice actually talking. Hold on, it's like I got a call coming in, I gotta get this.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
for a while. Have you ended the conversation with whomever you are talking to now? Thanks. I appreciate it. So, I will just keep talking for a while until you are clear and can hang up. But until then, let's talk about the weather. Hot enough for you? I can't wait for cooler weather. The wife and kids are doing great. I hope your family is well, too.
Those clowns anyway, in Congress.
Oh, I hope I was able to help. Have a great day.
That's it. That's the end of it.
That very much reminds me of the...
That's the easy out.
The Simpsons Radio Talk Bot 2000. Yeah. Those clowns in Congress messed it up again. What a bunch of clowns.
Yeah, right.
How does he keep on?
How do they keep up with the news like that? Yeah, so there you go. That's my easy out. So I cobbled together different things to make that happen.
All right.
So I designed the easy out. The difficulty is you do have to kind of fiddle with your watch if you have a smartwatch. But so it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's not quite so stealthy you just push a button on your phone, but it's getting there. Not bad, though, right?
Yeah, that's an actual invention. That's like reality.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me nervous.
I actually made it work, too.
Yeah,
I'm
all great for hypothetical inventionizing, but when it comes to actually making something, now we've got to worry about long-term ramifications and if this is going to cause like a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
Hey, this is John. That was just the appetizer. You want a full course meal? Keep listening.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Boating Tech. Boating Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Boating Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Boating Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.
Do we have any Simpsons quizzes for each other?
I, on the way here, got, oh, I forgot the cards. But, I don't know, we can still try and quiz each other.
Well, I've got one that I thought up that I think would be great.
Let's do it.
Homer and Patty and Selma, where Homer gets a loan from them and has to pay it back.
Uh-huh.
Smokes those two cigarettes. Anyway, when they're on the couch and they've got the IOU note, Patty and Selma tell him to do things. He says, I'm not going to do it. And Selma says, Homer, you can't spell obsequious without IOU. Which is probably one of the smartest lines, the funniest, smartest lines ever in The Simpsons, in my opinion.
Certainly the smartest one Patty and Selma would ever say.
So, my question for you. Spell obsequious.
Gotta be kidding me. IOU. That doesn't count as a Simpsons trivia.
I think, having watched this episode, one of the first things that you would do is research that and find out how to spell obsequious.
It's not. Okay. Obsequious. I can't even pronounce it, man. Obsequious. Can I have a country of origin, please?
Selma. The country is Selma.
Okay. O-B-S-E-Q-I-O-U-S?
Almost.
Q-U-I-O-U-S?
That's it.
I think I should get that.
That's it.
I'm going to count it as a win.
Yeah?
Okay. Easy one, hopefully. What's the name of the radio station in Springfield?
KBBL.
Okay, too easy. I thought it was a bit of a softball, but I don't know. Should have done something harder. In the episode Bart the Lover, when Bart starts writing Edna Krabappel love letters, you know, for the pen pal thing, what is his nom de plume?
I know he used a picture of Gordie Howe, and his name was Woodrow.
You got it. Wow. Okay.
What was the name of the movie?
Are you done here?
Yeah, I'm done.
You can eat that, though, too, I guess.
No, I'm done.
Oh, really?
What was the name of the movie that Bart went to see when Edna Krabappel was waiting for Woodrow to show up?
Oh... Ooh, you turned it on me. You flipped it. Is it the Space Aliens, one of the Space Aliens movies?
It is not.
Shoot. It's not an Ernest movie. You know Homer, he always likes to go to the Ernest.
He likes the Ernest one. He likes the what is the King Kong? I remember he wanted to see that movie. King Kong Island with the monkey.
Oh man, it's always Space Aliens. It was a parody movie, not a real movie, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's always a parody movie.
Otherwise, you got to pay them sweet naming rights.
Yeah, too. And it's an extra joke. Okay, I give up.
Ernest needs a kidney.
It was an Ernest movie.
It was an Ernest movie.
Oh man, I should have known that popped in my head for a reason.
Yeah, but I mean. Of all of the body parts, do you think you really would have guessed Ernest needs a kidney?
You knew it. I should have known it. I think you've bested me today. I will surrender. You win this one. It's all you. I thought it'd be fun if we discussed what state, if Simpsons was actually in one of the 50 states, what state do you think it would actually be in?
It's tough because they've given it reason to be on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yes, but I know for a fact it is west of the Mississippi. Has to be. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
So when Homer drove to New York?
He drove all the way across the Mississippi to get there.
He drove 14 hours?
They didn't say how many hours, did they?
But I couldn't imagine him driving for 14 hours.
I drove for 16 when I drove to Texas last summer. No big deal. Here's how I know. It's on the west side of the Mississippi. The local radio station.
Okay.
KBBL. In the United States,
yeah.
If you're west of the Mississippi, you're a K station. If you're east of the Mississippi, you're a W station. When Marge took a train and went to Rancho Relaxo, the radio station was a W radio station.
Oh.
But in Springfield, the radio station is KBBL. So, yeah, here's a trivia one. What's the radio station Marge listened to at Rancho Relaxo? There's one I know you won't get.
No. No, Coma. I got nothing.
WKMA Coma. Like I'm in a coma?
Yeah.
Like sleepy, boring music?
Yeah.
So we know it's west of the Mississippi. Can we say that?
I mean, that is evidence to support that it's west of the Mississippi.
Evidence.
But
it has to be fact-based.
But not everything that The Simpsons does is based in fact.
That's true. There was an episode, or in the movie, Flanders talks about the four states that border Springfield.
Yeah.
And there are four states that aren't even near each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they do stuff...
They went to hold hands in the junction of five different states on that one road trip.
Which doesn't exist. But yeah. That doesn't mean where the Simpsons live. They were on a road trip.
The fact that it doesn't exist means that some things occur outside of, you know, America.
So let's do this. Let's take away the references that specifically are meant to throw you off. Like the Flanders pointing to the four states that border them that aren't anywhere near each other. Like the Five Corners, which was really just a parody of the Four Corners.
Yeah.
Let's take away those things. And maybe take away some of the more recent stuff where it was a gag about you can't know where Springfield is. Maybe like the first 10 seasons or so. Clues from those that can actually pinpoint where The Simpsons, where Springfield is really meant to be.
If we throw away the first 10 seasons, I have like no knowledge of The Simpsons.
No, only take the first 10.
Oh, okay.
You throw away after. The recent stuff you throw away. After it was already meant to be a joke that Springfield is nowhere.
Well, I know it was originally supposed to be, I want to say Portland.
It wasn't meant to be Portland, but it was meant...
It was based off of Portland.
It was based off of Matt Groening's life in Oregon. He grew up in Oregon. And he didn't say that Springfield was meant to be Oregon. He's never said that. But he did say it was based off memories of his life, a lot of it, and he grew up there.
Yeah.
So, but there is a Springfield in Oregon as well.
Yep.
I think, from the research I've done, that it is meant to be Oregon as well. That's the state... that I'm saying Springfield is actually in. One thing is, they have an ocean. So it has to be a state that's got an ocean.
Well, are you talking about when they went camping?
No, that wasn't... when they went camping, there was lakes and streams.
And that they eventually went into the ocean.
They have the Springfield Squid Port. The Squid Port is on the ocean.
I don't remember the Squid Port.
Oh, yeah, it's a big part of the community. They have a boardwalk on the Squid Port, and they've been there a few times. They've been there in recent episodes as well, but I think they've been there in the earlier seasons. So the Springfield Squid Port, and remember Little Lisa Slurry?
Mm-hmm.
That was on the beach.
But did it have to be in the same city?
It was within reasonable distance of Springfield, I believe. So there's enough ocean stuff nearby. I'm going to say there has to be an ocean bordering the state that they're in, because they're too close to an ocean. They're certainly within a short driving distance of the ocean.
Have we considered the possibility that it's not the United States? That it is some kind of...
George Bush moved in next door to him.
That it's some kind of embassy in another country.
That's a creative angle. I will give you that. But I think you and I both know that's not super likely. No, it's definitely U.S. They talk too much about it being in the U.S. It's very clear that it's a U.S. thing.
It would explain Homer's just blind fanatical patriotism to the USA.
Yeah, well, let's go down this rabbit hole. Would the radio station still be KBBL if they were south of the border?
Could Homer have driven to New York? Could he have driven
to all these places that they've driven to? Because they've driven to Vegas. Remember, they've done Vegas trips with Ned, and they got married. And that was only less than a day's drive away.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be within a day's drive of Vegas, which Portland would be a long day, but you could do it. They've driven to Canada before, again, within a day or so, which you can do from Springfield, Oregon.
Okay.
Because remember the Midnight RX episode?
No.
Well, Midnight RX is where they find out you can get cheaper meds in Canada and without having prescriptions. So they start becoming like drug mules, and they drive up to Canada, get a bunch of drugs, and then drive back down across the border.
Okay.
Oh, you know, we had a discussion last week or the week before about how when The Simpsons started, we were the same age as Bart.
Right.
And now we're the same age as Homer. And you're like, is he really that age? I went back and I double-checked my research.
Of course he's 38.
He's younger than that. In the episode where he explains the story of... it's another flashback episode. And they flashback to the time when Bart was born. Bart's birth. Oh, that was one of the ones I was going to ask you. Trivia quick. I remember now. That was what I was thinking of, because I thought this when I watched it. When Bart is first born, the first time that Homer holds him in the hospital after Bart is born, what does Bart do to Homer? Does he A, suck his nose, suck Homer's nose, B, pee in Homer's face, or C, burn Homer's tie?
Burn his tie.
Final answer?
Yep.
You confident? You sound confident.
I'm confident, but that doesn't mean I'm right.
You are correct, sir. And of course, the question is, how did he get that lighter?
He got it from Dr. Hibbert.
You're right. Well, I wasn't actually asking that. That was rhetorical. But yeah, good answer. Okay. All right. Well, you got me now. Anyway, in that episode, Homer says that he is 26 years old when they found out that Marge was pregnant with Bart. Bart is now 10.
Yeah.
So he is between 36 and 37 years old. Possibly 38, depending on how old he was when Bart was born when she was pregnant with Bart. But 6 months or so, 9 months. I mean, 9 months is the birth, but, you know, maybe he was almost 27, and then they found out a couple months later that she was pregnant. But so he's either 26, 20, or 36, 37, 38.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad
Homer is our age.
I'm glad I kept my hair better than Homer.
Yeah, I don't think I look anything like Homer, like in terms of age-wise.
Yeah, he looks 40s.
But, you know, he's not supposed to have a very healthy lifestyle. But, yeah, and the balding, I'm sure, hurts him. Because remember when he got his hair back, Simpson and Delilah?
Yeah.
He looked a little younger. And the other thing that's also depressing, remember the episode Brush with Greatness?
Marge is painting Mr. Burns.
Yes. In that episode, Homer realizes he's fat and he goes on a diet. Do you know how much Homer weighs in that? And he gets really excited when he comes down.
235?
He comes down and says, 239, and I'm feeling fine.
Yeah.
I'm as big as Homer, too.
You keep it a little higher, you know? You got that upper body thing.
I don't know. I don't think I look particularly obese, and they always make references to how fat Homer really is.
Yeah.
I don't feel as big as Homer. I don't know. Do we think I look as big as Homer?
I think Americans are a little bit larger than average people.
I guess. I wonder how tall he is.
So 239.
Do you know how tall Marge is with her hair?
I remember the one where she accidentally stole from the Quickie Mart.
Well, the one I'm thinking
was like 6'10".
The one I'm thinking of is when she had that freak out on the bridge, and she just stopped her car sideways on the bridge. That was actually the Rancho Relaxo episode.
Okay.
And she freaks out, and they have the police coming and everything. Well, they arrest her, and they show her getting her mug shots in that episode. And it is like 6'5".
Yeah.
And it's funny because they do an actual second mug shot for the top of her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. So anyway, if I was bald, I would be very much a Homer right now. That's really depressing to think about. And I do jump around from job to job like he does. I don't have the steady one on the side, but, you know, he's always something different.
Yeah.
I kind of do that.
Sugar salesman.
Yeah. Special tonic, selling tonic.
Let's go back and forth.
With jobs Homer's had?
Yeah.
Okay. I did the tonic salesman. Okay, we got to write this down so we don't repeat. Okay, so you did sugar sales. I did tonic. Okay, this shouldn't be that hard. This is only your second one.
I think we should count the Mr. Happy where he sends the, where he did the robo-dialer and had people send him money.
Okay. All right. So, robo-dialer. I don't really want to... Mr. Happy.
Robo-dialer.
The one where he would take recycled grease.
No, I don't remember that.
You don't recall that one?
No.
Yeah. They got all greased up and they were going through the vents. He sent Bart in through the vents and he put like a vacuum thing in there and he was sucking out the used grease. Because there was money in reselling the grease.
All right.
So I'm going to put that.
He was an executive vice president at the power plant.
When
he got his hair back.
I guess we can count power plant, but that's a bit of a stretch. I'll just put exec. Okay. The garbage man. He was elected to state sanitation commission.
Okay.
Remember that? The garbage man can?
He was hired by his brother Herbert Powell to make a car.
I disagree. He was not hired. Oh, he was.
He said, I want to pay you to do it.
He was.
And I want to let you.
But was he really on the books? It doesn't matter. I'll count it. All right. He worked at Sir Putz-a-Lot.
Sir Putz-a-Lot? Okay.
He worked there as a teenager before...
Oh, yeah. That's where they had Bart.
That's where they conceived Bart in the windmill.
Yeah. So. All right. He quit his job and joined Barney's Bolarama.
Astronaut
counts. He was also he also worked at Krusty Burger, and that's where he proposed to Marge with the onion ring, which I've tried. It doesn't work so well.
But you're wrong. It wasn't Krusty Burger. It was fast food, but it was not Krusty Burger.
I don't remember which one.
It was the Gulp and Blow.
That's right. That's right. I remember two words and then a partial not word or something like that.
Gulp and Blow. And seeing as how you got me down that path, I can't miss the Quickie Mart.
Yeah.
Lisa's pony. He had to work at the Quickie Mart.
Yeah.
He was horrible. He slept on the job, but still, there goes the best employee the Quickie Mart has ever had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he worked for Scorpio.
Of course. Dang. He was a beer baron.
Yeah, that's right. He joined the Navy, right? And like he crashed through the with the submarine and said to the, it said it's my first day.
He joined with his friends. Mo is one of them, and yeah, that's right. Okay, now we're starting to get really into the nitty gritty mm-hmm. here. I'm sure mm-hmm. there's more, but
oh yeah, there's more. Come on, we've got like 20 something seasons
to
deal with.
Oh, he toured with Lollapalooza. They didn't call it Lollapalooza. They had a different name with it.
Yeah, it was...
Suckapalooza or something like that?
Yeah.
Anyway, he did the touring, and he did the cannonball in the gut
thing. Yeah. Oh, he was a backup clown for Krusty.
Was. That's right. I forgot about that one. I know I'm missing more.
There's plenty more.
Gotta be more.
There's like 50 more.
I think this counts. This is a more recent one. Do you remember when he dressed up? Oh, that was it. The Dancing Homer. They moved to Capital City for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Dancing Homer.
Yeah, and he knew the Capital City goofball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those antics may play out in the sticks, but this is the big city.
Episode 1. He was Santa Claus.
Ooh, good, good. That was a nice one. Right down to the first episode. They really did start that early.
Yeah.
He dressed up as a mascot and shot ping pong balls out of his butt.
I'm going to have to take your word on that
It was like season 14 or something. Maybe even more. Maybe like 24.
All right.
Yeah, I can't remember. He dressed up like a... It was like an orange dinosaur character.
Okay.
And it was a... actually a politically motivated one. So it's really right. Weird. I don't know what to call that one. We already have a mascot one, but I'll just call it mascot.
Mascot 2.
Yeah.
All right. He was a limo driver, and he had Mel Brooks in the back seat and did the 2,000-pound man thing.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that one. That was good. Nice pull. Yeah. Now I'm really getting stuck. I kind of felt confident going into this, but I don't feel so confident anymore. Well, okay, now, this is a bit of a stretch, but I'm going to go for it.
Sure.
Safety inspector at the nuclear plant. We didn't mention that was a job of his.
Sure, why not? Why do I want to say that he was a Secret Service member? For some reason, I thought he did that.
Maybe a Halloween episode, but no. I don't think we can count non-canonicals.
No, I guess not.
There was a Mr. and Mrs. Simpson episode where they parodied Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Angelina Jolie Brad Pitt movie, where he was a Secret Service kind of guy with Marge. Yeah. But that was, again, that was a non-canonical episode.
I think I'm tapped. That's all I can think of right now. It's a good list.
It's a pretty good list. Shall we review our list?
Sure.
Sugar salesman, tonic salesman, robo-dialer, grease sales, executive, garbage man, car designer, Sir Putzel, working at Sir Putzelot, working at Barney's, an astronaut, working at the Gulp and Blow, the Quickie Mart, working for Hank Scorpio, working as the beer baron in the Navy, the cannonball in the gut guy, a clown, dancing Homer, Santa, a political mascot, a limo driver, and a safety inspector.
What a resume.
And he's only aged like 1 year or 2 years since the show began.
And he can take care of the kids, too. You know, he's a family guy on top of all of that.
He is. Luckily, there's a family guy.
Yeah.
Someone who positively everything. Yeah. Okay. I feel like we let ourselves down. I wish we could have gotten more. That's a good list, but we could have done better.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not in my A game today. But, you know, if we're just kind of sporadically coming up with it, I think this is okay.
It's not bad for on the, you know, off the cuff.
Yeah. I think I got to move on, though.
Yeah, no.
Move on the dusty trail.
As it is, I'm going to have to edit all this stuff down anyway. Shorter lunches are a little easier for me. Oh, boy, my wife just sent me a text message. Can I just quit and become a housewife? She must be having a bad day at her internship.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Well, play us out.
Play us out. Ding 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 ding. So, let's go be average elsewhere.
Are you as full as I am? Thanks for having lunch with us today. You can subscribe to the Let's Do Lunch podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play Music. We already made reservations at the next restaurant. Join us or we lose the good table.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Boating Tech. Boating Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Boating Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Boating Tech. Smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.